To the book of Acts this morning. The book of Acts. Acts of the Apostles. Praise God. I want to look at that. I pray the Lord might touch our hearts. We look into the second chapter. And I appreciate everybody being at the house of the Lord on this Sunday morning. And I pray God will bless you, strengthen you, encourage you, challenge you. Amen. You'll get what you need at the house of the Lord. In the second chapter of the book of Acts, we're going to start reading this morning at verse number 37. So when you find your place, we'll stand together, read together, and then you'll be seated and I'll pray. We'll bring you thought. I pray that God might have His way in your heart and life. God might strengthen, amen, your soul. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." You can be seated. Our Father, we thank You this morning for the privilege of standing behind this sacred desk of which we're not worthy of. But God, thank You that we have the privilege to open the precious, unadulterated Word of God and to declare, Lord, its truths to men and women. And I pray, God, that the Holy Ghost of God will speak through us and deal with our hearts and our souls and our minds. Father, may we center our soul upon You for the next little while. God, may You feed us from Your precious book. And I pray, God, You'd convict us of our sins, our shortcomings, our iniquities. Lord, I pray we might confess those before You. Leave out of this building saying it's been good. And Lord, we go out with our sins washed away. We give You the praise, the glory, and the honor. We commit it all to You. Take a live coal off the altar of God. Lay it upon our tongue. And help us speak as we wish we had when we stand before You in the judgment. And we'll give You the glory, the praise, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now I'm looking here at the first, I guess, church meeting, if you will, in the New Testament. Amen. The Lord has just ascended back up into heaven in the first chapter off the Mount of Olives and said, "Hey, I'm coming back." Amen. Left that message with two angels. And they said, "He's coming back." And I've been preaching that ever since. Amen. And He's gone. But He said, "I want you to tarry in Jerusalem. And I want you to wait there for the endowment of power." And when we get to the second chapter, we find that the power of the Holy Ghost of God came down and lit upon every single one of them. Amen. Like a dove. And they begin to speak in other tongues or other languages. And they begin to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And Peter has got the floor. Brother, he is beginning to tell the things of Christ. And in that second chapter, he's talking about, "You crucified the Lord of glory, and You crucified Him." And we look down in verse number 37. When we get to verse number 37, he said, "Now when they..." I want you to notice that word "they." I've got that word "they" circled in my Bible. Amen. You can preach a message on "they" all the way through the Bible. Who's "they"? Amen. Different ones from different times. But look at this. The Bible said in verse 37, "And when they heard..." Isn't that what God said? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I never got in. I'd not be saved. You'd have not got saved, or you're not saved this morning because you have not heard. Now you can hear with your ears and still not hear with your heart and still die in your sin. But I'm glad this morning that I heard. Everybody has to hear the gospel. The first thing said they heard this. Secondly, they were pricked in their heart. That word prick means to be goaded. It means to be prodded. It means to be pierced with a sharp point. And what happened? That gospel went straight to their heart. It didn't just pierce their head. It pierced their heart. I think about it every time I think about this scripture that they were pricked in the heart. I think about a police officer sometimes that's got that a little old taser. Brother, when he tases, brother, they just, hey, that's what God does. That's God's taser. The Holy Ghost is God's taser. Brother, He wakes you up. You said, preacher, I've never had that. You've never had that. You've never been saved either. Amen. God had to prick you in the heart somewhere down the road. And if you've never been pricked in the heart, you're still lost. Now, you can be pricked in the heart and still be lost. But I'll guarantee you, nobody in here is saved this morning but what you hadn't been pricked in the heart first. Amen. Now, the Bible said they were pricked in their heart. Now, they begin to ask a question. When you get down to serious business, you start asking questions. Amen. Peter didn't have to get four stanzas of "just as I am." He didn't have to get three stanzas of another invitation song. Matter of fact, I read in the Word of God and I ain't even figured out where they come up with that. I'm not going to stop it. I like it. I believe music sometimes gets us the place to think a little bit. But I'll tell you what. They didn't get by the music pricked in the heart. They got pricked in the heart by the preaching of the Word of God. It's the Word that pricked them in the heart. Amen. You with me? And so what happened is, they said to them, down in verse number 37, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Hey, something's happened here. We've been pricked in the heart. Hey, something happened to me. I was talking to somebody on the telephone yesterday. And I was telling them some things, and we was talking about the Word of God. And they said to me, "Boy, I feel a goosebumps going up my spine." This lady told me that the other day too. But this lady told me yesterday, she said, "I feel goosebumps going up my spine." What it is, the Holy Ghost of God begins to prick the heart and work on the soul. And these folks here are under conviction. Peter's preaching them the power. They've never seen such preaching in all their life. Amen. Some of you have never seen that either. Amen. Amen. Tremendous power. He's preaching. They're preaching. Brother, while they're preaching there, they're pricked in their heart. And they're saying to those, something's happened. "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" What shall we do? Don't that remind you of Acts 16? When old Paul and Silas were out there and working for the Lord and preaching. And old Paul and Silas, you remember them? They got whipped. They carried them out there and whipped them, put them in the stocks and bonds. I wouldn't have been a singing at no midnight. Amen. I can't even sing at midnight. Amen. Anymore. Can you? And when I ain't been whipped. But these boys is whipped. Then the blood, amen, have been running down their backs. And I'm sure about all that, they're sitting on stocks and bonds. And about midnight, they begin to sing and pray. Brother, the touch of God come on them, and the Holy Ghost of God worked in them in a mysterious way. And brother, the jailhouse doors is opened up, and the old jailer thought he is losing his prisoners, and he sprang in. Brother, that Holy Ghost conviction touch of God was there, pricked him in the heart, and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Would you agree with me this morning that we need that same kind of power in our churches? Amen. We need that Holy Ghost preaching today that will stir hearts and souls and minds. I mean that God will get us out and shake us out over hell. I remember there's a boy sitting on the end of the pew when that preacher preached that morning. He got to talking about going to hell without God. And brother, I'll tell you, the Holy Ghost shook me out over hell. And I could just see myself dying and going to hell and suffering in flames and fire forever and ever. And it got a hold of my heart. And God pricked me. And God prodded me. And God poked me in the heart and let me know that I was lost and undone. And that Holy Ghost just shook me out over hell and said, you're the one I'm speaking to today. And I got up out of my seat. The invitation, I didn't care whether they sung that morning. Amen. Matter of fact, I'd have win anyhow. If they hadn't had a song, Amen. I got out of that seat. I know the first step was the toughest one I ever had to make. But when I made that first step, instead of going to the left, I went to the right. Amen. If I'd have went to the left, I'd have went out the door. Because I was sitting on this side. If I'd have went to the left, I'd have left the place of conviction. Amen. And went on and maybe died and lost without God. But I want to tell you, I turned to the right, went to the altar, and said, God saved me. He moved in, the devil moved out. And I've been birthed in this family ever since. That's a simple story. Amen. One thing about it, I tell it the same every time. You know why? Because that's the way it happened. Amen. Not up here. Now, I tell sometimes and hear some of these preachers say and talk about it, and I've heard them say, I was such a place at a certain time. Amen. At a certain time on the clock, I can take you back to the time and take you back to the place. I can take you back to the place, but I can't particularly take you back to the time. I can get you right in close area. Hey, I don't care if you can't describe nothing. You better be able to describe what happened in that altar. Amen. These boys got pricked in their heart. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? The old jailer said, what? He said, talked about it over there, said, he talked about it, what must we do to be saved? What shall we do? What shall we do? And Peter said, believe. Both of them, amen, said believe right here. And Paul said, believe. Amen. All right, Peter said, and here's the key. Verse number 38, then Peter said unto them, repent, and then be baptized. Some folks like that baptizing first. Amen. And some of you may have just been baptized, and that's all there is. But you're still lost, you see, and if that's the case, let's look on a little bit further. We was talking about them days. Let's look to verse 41. When we get down to verse number 41, the Bible said, then they that gladly received His word were baptized. They were pricked in their heart. They heard the Word of God and they believed. And now in verse number 41, they gladly received His Word and were baptized. And then we find what happened in that invitation, verse 41. It said, the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. There were added that day 3,000 souls. Now, somewhere down the road, every preacher, somewhere down the road, every church, somewhere down the road, every believer has to get the place that we cannot build God's house. We cannot build this church. Amen. We've got somebody on every pew in this building but one. And there's something I've been thinking about taking it out because it's always empty. But I don't understand why, if we who are believers and God's people, why God can't use us to fill this church. And maybe He would if we'd get our hands off of it. Amen. Can I remind you that Peter didn't go up and down the country doing a campaign? He wasn't out trying to peddle his wares or anything else to get people to come to church. Amen. Promising them the moon and not giving them nothing. But he preached, and I still believe that that's the drawing card for God's house. But I believe God could do more for our church if we had just let God do it and us get out of it. Amen. You said, you don't want me to do nothing? No, I didn't say that. Amen. Listen to me very carefully. We need to make sure that what we are doing is pleasing God. We need to make sure that we're doing what God would have us to do. Everything that we do must be done decently and in order. And we find that God added to the church 3,000 souls. I was reading the other day and I read a little article and this fellow was talking about going to a certain church and he said, hey, we have souls saved every service. Said they're coming right and left. And said, hey, he said, I've been there a long time. And he said, we got some of them that come to the altar every service and get saved every service. They've been getting saved and saved and saved. And I thought somebody's not teaching them right. Amen. And then he said, we have a lot of people come and they say they get saved and they never come back. And they don't go to church nowhere. You can't put no stock in that. Amen. Brother, I'll tell you what I'd like to see. I believe these people right here, these 3,000 people made a difference in Christianity. I'd like to see a church do something after people get right and saved. Now let's look at them days again. Let's take our Bible now in this second chapter and look at verse 42. The Bible said in verse 42, and they, there they show up again. Them days, they got a way of popping up everywhere. Now them days have heard. Them days have been pricked. Them days have repented and called on God. And them days now have been baptized and added to the church. Right, we got that. We're safe thus far, aren't we? Now let's see what else about them days. The Bible said in verse number 42, and they, what's that next word? Say it real loud for me.
Continued.
I like that. And then there's another little word that God puts in there through the Holy Ghost. It's another adjective. It says steadfastly. Now you know what steadfastly is? It means I shall not be moved. Steadfast. It means anchored. It means solid. Amen. It means they're there to stay. It means that they're not going to be a turning and leaving. They're there. Amen. They're anchored in concrete. Amen. In this case, the Holy Ghost. The Bible said, and they continued steadfastly. What did they continue steadfastly? You see, after you've been saved, the evidence of being saved is to continue steadfastly. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They didn't waver from it. They continued in the apostles' fellowship. They continued in the breaking of bread. And they continued in prayer. And the Bible said that fear came upon them. These are continuing. They continue. I like that, don't you? Praise God. Now, let's look at something else and see how they did it. Look at verse number 46. The Bible said, and what's that? They. Now, what's the next word? Continuing. Now, up there, they continued. Now, they are continuing. Paul said, hey, they continued. Or Peter said, they're continued. They continued. And now, they are continuing. They still ain't quit. They've been with it for a long time. And they said, and they continuing how? Daily. Amen. With one accord. They continue to go down to the house of God. Amen. They continued to go to the house of God. And the Bible said in breaking of bread from house to house, and they eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And look at what happened when these people continued. I want to tell you, if you continue, God will do something. Now they preached, and 3,000 souls got saved. And after they got saved and got in the work, they kept on continuing and staying with it. And we got down to verse number 47. They begin to praise God. They were praising God. Amen. God blesses continuers. May not be the way to say it in English, but that's, you know what I mean. You got the gist of it, didn't you? God blesses those who continue. Amen. Stays with them. You stay with God and He'll stay with you. Amen. Can you just see me sitting on the pew? Amen. And I've laid out about 3 times in the last 4 weeks. And can you just see me sitting there going, woo! Glory to God! And everybody in the church is saying, he ain't even been here but half a time. Amen. No wonder some of us can't shout. Huh? Stop thinking about that a minute. Amen. He said they continued. And they're continuing. And now they're praising God. Amen. Drive by on 441. They see some of y'all, and I know some of us can't hip it. I can't hardly walk like I used to. Amen. Matter of fact, I think I do pretty good. But then every once in a while somebody says, what's wrong, preacher? You ain't got a... I thought, well, I had a pretty good spring in my step, I thought. Amen. You know, you just kind of don't pay no attention to it. You go wide open all the time, but sometimes wide open ain't like it was 20 years ago. Amen. And run out of gas. So here they watch us come in, and then they watch us drag out. Amen. Amen. Have they seen us coming out waving our hands and praising God? They say, something's going on over there. Amen. Notice what it said in that verse. Let's read the rest of it. Let's look and see what God said. He said, praising God and having favor with all the people. Having favor. I'll tell you what. They made some improvements. They made some touch. They made some impressions on somebody. You go to praising God and showing the world that you're real and genuine. Down at the grocery store. Down at the drug store. Amen. Down at the doctor's office. I guess I'm just talking about where my activities are, but wherever yours are. The older we get, a fella said the other day, said he's still traveling as much as he ever was. Just the doctor's office, and the drug store and all that. But anyhow, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord, look at this, and the Lord, not the preacher, not the church, not the deacons, not the members, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. When we get down to the fact to realize that God is the one that adds to the church, brother, things will change. I know God can fill that pew up. I can't. I've tried. Amen. I do know that I could fill it. I'd go get me some lifeless dummies and fill it. But do you think that'll help any? I believe God can fill it. Now, let's go a little further. I want us to skip chapter 3 for a moment. Not that it's not important. But I want to find where these days are. I want to find out where they went out of chapter 2. Where's these days show up again? Chapter 4. Let's go to chapter 4. Amen. I was just kind of picking up my Bible and reading this morning. I had something else I was going with. And while I was sitting there reading, these days jumped out and slapped me about a half a dozen times. And I got to looking for them, and God said, that's what I want you to preach, and that's what we're doing. Amen. Never heard a message on this. Verse 4. And they, what now? Spake. Amen. They opened their mouth. Amen. You go to praising God and shouting a little bit, watching God add to the church, and it ain't going to be long, you're going to be a talking. Some of you in this building tonight, or this morning, say, preacher, I don't know how to speak to nobody. I don't know how to witness to nobody. I don't know how to tell anybody about the Lord. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what. It needs to get in your crawl. I've heard them say that all these days. I ain't figured out. Yeah, I know a chicken got a crawl, but I didn't know I had one. But anyhow, I say it needs to get in your crawl. Amen. Some of you old timers, a chicken's got what they call a gizzard. Anybody know what a gizzard is? I like gizzards. Amen. I don't want anybody bring me a bunch of gizzards. I like gizzards. Hard to find now. But I remember what Mama done with them gizzards. I remember them. She'd take that old gizzard out of that old chicken, and we eat everything about the chicken. Just about everything. Amen. But she cut that gizzard open. She turned it out wrong side outwards. And there was little bitty pieces of rocks and sticks and all kinds of stuff. After looking at that, I probably didn't, amen, care. But that was just a common thing to eat. I wouldn't want to eat that now, looking at it so much as seeing that. But Mama used to clean that gizzard out and cook it, and it's good. And I always looked at that must be the crawl. Got down in the crawl. Now somewhere down in you, you've got something to pluck it in and put in there. And so I say, get this in your crawl. The reason you can't witness and the reason you can't tell people about Jesus is because it's not too exciting to you. If you could ever get so excited to tell people about Jesus as you could, that you could, I'll take a Zebco 33 and boom. Hey, I was out there, I caught 14. If you could get so excited about throwing a football, hey, I'm with it, that's my team, that's my... Listen, if you could ever get excited about Jesus and soul saving and getting people picked up out of the pits of hell as you could some of the things of the world, amen, you wouldn't have a bit of trouble. Amen, amen, preacher. It is the truth, isn't it? It is the truth. Well, and as they spake unto the people, the priest, that's the religious people, and the captain of the temple, that's a religious person, and the Sadducees, that's a religious crowd. You see that? Came upon them. They began to speak. Let's go back. Follow me. They heard. They were pricked in the heart. They repented, believed, and were baptized. They continued steadfastly. They continued daily praising God. And now they're speaking. Make sense? That's all in the book here. I didn't write this. Right? Okay. Now it said, being grieved, who were? The Sadducees. Don't you want to grieve this crowd? You stand for the truth, and you don't have to worry about it. You'll make the religious crowd mad. You'll get them upset in a minute. Amen. It don't bother me when I hear other church folks and other preachers putting me down. Amen. Because I realize today, I just got in their crawl. Amen. And I'm telling the truth. So the religious crowd said, being grieved that they, who? The disciples, the people of God, taught. They were preaching and teaching. Isn't that what we're to do? Go into all parts of the world, preach and teach and baptize. And preach through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They were preaching that Jesus rose from the dead. And the Sadducees did not believe in a resurrection. They were religious, but they didn't believe in a resurrection. Who in the world wouldn't believe in a resurrection and call themselves religious or righteous? The Sadducees did. Then in verse number 3, notice what the other they done. It's the Sadducees now. And they laid hands on them. The Sadducees and the religious crowd laid hands on the people of God. And then in verse number 7 of chapter 4, and when they had set them in the midst, they sat them down and preached to them and talked to them. Have you ever been talked to by the world? Preacher, calm it down. Cool it down. Amen. You preach too long. You preach too loud. You move around too much. You don't have no tact. Preacher, don't preach that anymore. You preach that again and I'm going to leave. I usually just tell them go on. Because I'm going to get there next service. Probably. Amen. I was approached one time and said, preacher, you'll be all right at this church if you will not preach any kind of doctrine. We don't want doctrine here. But then what we find over here that these fellows did? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The world don't want us to stay true. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, isn't it amazing when somebody gets stirred up, they start asking questions. By what power or by what name have you done this? I stand over here on the street corner, right out in front of the gazebo, downtown Clarksville, many years ago. And I'm standing there, and they said, "Now, when you preach on the street, preacher, you have to give away to those people on the sidewalk. But you walk up to the sidewalk with a Bible on the arm, and you get the sidewalk." I found that out. And I'm standing on the sidewalk with my Bible, and they said, "Now, if anybody comes by, you'll have to step off the sidewalk and let them have it." I never did have no trouble with that. You preach on the sidewalk and see how many of them will take your place. They won't come at you. They may scream at you and holler at you and give you a few gestures and hold some beer cans in front of you, but they won't bother you. So I preached, and I just let it go, and it bounced in off of them walls, and people would stop. Some of them would stay nowhere listening. But I noticed in my back over there, there's a little fella. I'd quieten down a little bit, calm down a little bit, and he'd come running up past, and I'd start preaching again, and he'd run back. And I'd wind up a little more, and he'd come running up, and then he'd run back. And every time I'd get a little calm, he'd start running. Amen. And I'd go to preaching, and he'd go running the other way. And I got through. And when I got through, he'd come up there. And I said, "Oh, Lord, give me what I need. You never know what you're going to face." And he come running up to me. And he said, "I want to ask you a question." He said, "What authority do you have to stand out here and do this?" And I reached over here and turned into the book of Timothy. And I read this, and I said to him, "Be instant." He said, "Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove and rebuke with all long suffering and doctrine." That's the authority. God had given me the authority. Now these fellows are coming in. "What authority do you have? What right do you have? What are you out here for? How come you're causing trouble?" Isn't it amazing today that all of God's people in our modern day are troublemakers? They can stand on the street corner half naked, men standing with men and women standing with women for their little gay rights parades. And that don't bother society. But if they get out there and preach the Word of God, it disturbs them. That tells me something. Now the Bible said they laid hands on them in verse number 3. But notice what happened in verse number 4. And then we'll go back to verse 7. "Howbeit many of them which heard the word," what's that next word? "Believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000. Now this time, around 5,000 men got saved, not counting all the others. I believe today that God knows how to add to the church. And I believe we need to let Him add to this one. And I'm making a plea to you this morning as God's child, as God's preacher, that we let God work in us to do what needs to be done to fill this building. And I pray, and this is my thing, as a preacher, I pray God get me out of the way that He might show me the way. Amen. I am not the way, but I know the way. And it's not me." The Bible said in verse 7, they ask. You said they had set them before them, they had done laid hands on them, and now they ask, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" And so Peter begins to tell them. And he said, "Hey, it's the stone that the builders rejected. He's become the head of the corner," in verse 11. "You crucified Him. We come by His authority." But in verse number 13, here's where that church needs to be, and here's where this church needs to be. "Now when they saw," we're still talking about the religious crowd, "when they saw," and beloved, that's who I'm having more trouble with today, is the religious crowd. I don't have trouble with the harlots. I don't have trouble with the drunkards. I don't have trouble with the revilers. I have trouble with Christian people, so-called. They're the ones that give me more trouble. And the Sadducees said, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. How in the world can ignorant and unlearned men do what these men are doing? How can a bunch of little ignoramuses down at Bible Way Baptist Church do what they do? Because God is the one that's doing it, not us. That's what the world needs to see. He said they marveled. Wouldn't it be a good thing today that people could look? Now, I don't want people to look at us and marvel. I want them to see the hand of God and be marveled. And he said, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with somebody that had been with Jesus. That's what I want them to see. And behold, in the man which was healed. Now they're referring back to chapter 3. Standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred with them. And they said, now, you go out. Don't say anything about Jesus. In verse 17, said they speak. He said, when you go out, they threatened them. And he said, they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Don't speak about Him no more. Verse 18, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Verse number 21 said, so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them. If you read on, you'll find out that they didn't go to the house and shut their Bible and didn't go back out in public anymore. But they just kept preaching, steadfastly kept going, steadfastly kept speaking, and God kept adding to the church. And beloved, I want to have that stickability and be what they are. I want this church to be like that today. Amen. I want to be part of a church like that. Don't you? I'm not in the religious world. The religious world hates me. But I want to get involved in the things of God. Heads bowed, please. Just getting ready to preach, but I'm telling you, we need this. God help us. I want to watch God add to the church. Get that nice surrender all. That's where we need to be this morning. I surrender all. I preach to the church this morning mainly. I don't know what you need to do. I might could tell you and miss it. But I do believe this morning that the Holy Ghost knows what you need and has already told you. I don't know what your role in this church ought to be. I don't know what you think it ought to be. But I know this morning that God knows what He wants for you. And I want you to find the place that God wants you to be and do what He wants you to do. So let's stand. What's that number? 354? 354 in the blue book. Get your book. You need to come to the altar. Come on. God spoke to you.